Well, it's good to be back. Thank you, for that kind welcome. It's very nice. We've missed you. We did have a good time. Sorry, let's uncable this. So I've got more room to play with. I've grown since I've been away. thanks, Brody. You did an amazing job. Word is that you're a gun. You know, gun. Get it? Yeah. But, I did hear about that, Jim. I hope you did some work at the same time instead of working out. But, no, thank you to Brody, to Beryl, to others. It's good to know that the church, it doesn't revolve around us. It's God's church, and it's a privilege to serve in His church. Next week we'll have been here 19 years and entering our 20th year of leading this church. So that's a privilege and honour. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, it's just an honour and privilege to be able to serve God in this place. And it was great to have a restful break and get away for an extended time. So we really appreciate that. We missed you and we love being here. And we're ready to come back to a fresh season and to see what God has in store. Really think that for us was a bit of a marker in the sand going forward about what God's wanting to do in us, through us, in this place, in this family. So I hope you're excited about this year and this next season, because God has good things in store for us. Our trip was amazing. We got 1,000 photos. If you want to invite me for dinner one night, I'm happy to show you some of the highlights of those. The photos, if you did see some of our photos, they didn't do it justice. The Western Australia, I've got to say, has a lot going for it, except that it's so far away. And I would encourage you all, you should cross the Nullarbor at least one time in your life, drive across. It's awesome. So very much about that. So 3 months away, it's no pressure about having a joke this morning. So I was just thinking, I don't know about how your Christmas went. We had a nice Christmas. We kind of got back a couple of days from being away and then shooted out to Bathurst to have Christmas with Marguerite's family. But there were two grandmothers and they were kind of sitting having a coffee, just reminiscing about Christmas. And one grandmother said to the other, she said, "I'm really disappointed." She said, "I sent all my grandkids a nice Christmas card and put within it a generous check. I don't hear from any of them. None of them call me, none of them ring me to say thank you, nothing at all. It's very, very sad." Well, the other grandma said, "Oh, really?" He said, "I also send all my grandkids a Christmas card. And I also put a generous check in their cards. And within a week, most of them have called me. Within the same week, most of them have come and visited me. I don't know what's going on for you." He said, "Well, how do you do that?" She said, "It's easy. I don't sign the check." Let's pray. Father, just thank you that you are our God. Thank you that you have so much in store for us, so many good gifts to give to us, including your word and the sustenance and the vitality that comes from your word and how that goes deep into our spiritual being and our soul. So today as we gather and focus on your word, just ask that you would bring it to life, that you give us ears to hear what you want to say to us through that, that you would give us courage to examine ourselves in response to your word and to respond to that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you're back to a trip, you're going to get lots of trip spam over the next little while, but, you know. When you plan a trip, 12 weeks, a six-week trip we did to WA, you've got to be prepared. You can't just wake up one morning and say, "Let's cross the Nullarbor today." It's not quite like that. And we took a camper trailer, and so there are lots of things that we had to, for months, we were planning. In my head, I was planning. I was planning about the car and all the things I had to check off on the car to make sure that we had all the different things that would may happen that we needed to cover. Not so much about Nullarbor and other stuff, but just for the whole trip. I was checking our trailer. I was checking a whole bunch of different things like that. And as it got closer and closer to the trip, I started to get this anxiety about the preparation. What if? What if we have a flat tire in the Nullarbor? Am I equipped to change that? We got to buy a new car. It was a four-wheel drive, a second-hand one before that. And like I never had to change it. It's got a 5-centimeter lift on it, which then makes a difference to the jack. And I still don't even know where to put the jack if we do have a flat. I still haven't worked that out. I've had that conversation with my mechanic. I think I know, but those kinds of things, I'm thinking, do I know where to do that? Do I know how to get the tire off? Do I know? Where do we go? There's 250 Ks between roadhouses on the Nullarbor. Where do you take it to get a flat tire fixed? All those kinds of questions. I wonder about what if this breaks down or what if that breaks down? I'm not that mechanically minded. Would I know what to do? What if this happens or that happens or where will we be or what will happen? And started to get this kind of sense about all these things that I couldn't control. And I was just sitting with the Lord about that one day and he said, Rob, remember this verse, which has been a life verse for me out of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your own heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Oh, okay. Yep. I remember that verse. And so I've been meditating on that. That was kind of a marker in the sand for me at the beginning of our long service leave to say, just sit here with this verse for a little while, Rob. I've got some more to share with you. So I want to just kind of touch base with some insights into that this morning and help us think about that at the beginning of kind of a new year. It's got a lot to do with trust. Trust is an important commodity in our world or in our life. It's an essential character trait. And it's an essential character trait to life, to living, to connection, to relationship. It's the pivotal thing in all those things. If you want more, like, healthier relationships, you have to develop your trust. If you want life and life to live it to the full, to thrive, you have to develop trust. If you want a life without fear and anxiety, you have to develop trust. It's so essential to so many things. It's impossible, I think, for us to thrive in life without a high level of trust. So at the beginning of that, I just want you to contemplate on three questions to get us thinking this morning. How would you personally define trust? I'll give you a moment just to think about that. I'm not going to ask you for your answer, but I'm just asking, how would you define trust? If you were having coffee with someone and they said, hey, Rob, how do you define trust? What would you say? The second thing I want to ask you is, what are you prepared to place your trust in? That's a really important question. Or maybe I should ask another, what are you not prepared to place your trust in? So part of the answer to that question is everywhere you feel fear and anxiety is a key indicator that's somewhere you're not prepared to place your trust. And everywhere you should feel where you should feel peace and tranquility, and that's probably areas where you are able to trust. And the last question I want to ask you is, who do you trust the most? I know you're all wanting to say Jesus, but I really want to ask you the question. You have to choose two people. One can be Jesus and one can be someone else. Who do you trust the most? And what are you prepared to trust them with? Who do you trust the most? And what are you prepared to trust them with? The level of trust you place in someone else will equal the level of relationship and connection you have with them. Withhold trust, withhold relationship. Give trust, give relationship. Some good questions to ponder maybe at the beginning of the year. Trust defined just out of the dictionary, it says it's assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or truth of someone or something. Trust can be one in which confidence is placed, or trust can be a dependence on something future. In biblical terms, it's not much different, except that trust has this kind of foundational kind of confidence or unsuspecting piece to it. We place our confidence, we place our trust in God or in what God is doing for us or in the kingdom. It's associated words with the biblical meaning, words like depend, depending, secure, trust, trusted, trusting, reliance, or count on. Heard a lot of that in the testimonies this morning in some of the worship songs that we sang. And as I said before, I think it's impossible for us to thrive or to live abundantly without trust. When you talk about trust, you can't sit on the fence. It's either you trust the fence to stand or you mistrust the fence to fall and you back away from it. It's either one or the other. You either trust it or you don't trust it. You can't sit on it. And so in a sense with trust, you have to make a decision. Am I going to trust, even if it's just a little bit, like a mustard seed, or am I going to take a stance of not trusting, even if it's just a little bit of a mustard seed? We're in one or the other. There's really no, Jesus said what he thought about the church in Revelation, Laodicea, who were kind of sitting on the fence. He's going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're neither trusting or not trusting. You're nothing. You're neither there. And Jesus said, I hate lukewarm. So let's come back to this life verse of mine, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. I don't know if it's one of your life verses, but it's definitely one of my favorite verses. And I want to read it to you several times from several translations. Just allow the Word of God to speak to you, and maybe there's a particular nuance in a version that catches your spirit. Sit with that. Ask yourself, why is the Spirit awakening that nuance to me? Maybe you'll hear it in a different way than you've heard it before. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." In the NIV, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." In the Passion Translation, it says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make." And the Message Version says, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track." Great wisdom from, we think, King Solomon wrote Proverbs. And so there's a lot of wisdom there. He was, claimed to be the one who is the wisest king on the planet. So a few keys to trusting according to Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. The first is this: simply trust in the Lord. Whichever version you read, verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord." And Solomon's kind of asking the question, he's thinking, where do I put my trust? Where do we put our trust? It's quite simple. He says, you put your trust in the Lord. In other words, rely on, count on, depend on, have confidence in the Lord. So it's one thing to kind of, yes, I know that, I know that, that's what we should do. Like, who do we put our trust in? Jesus. Then the next question is, can you show me that? Can you show me what that looks like in your life where you put your trust in the Lord? Yes, I know you tell me that, but can you show me that? Because if we believe that to be true, we then should be able to show that to be true. Because behavior is an echo of belief. That's where we've moved from renting the idea that we trust in God to owning the idea of trusting in God. The second thing he says is not only trust in the Lord, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, with all your heart. It's in that game, Trivial Pursuit, it's an all play. Everyone's in on that. Every part of me is in on that. It's an all-in. And King Solomon picks that up. He says, the temptation is to rely on our own opinions. Okay, God, I'll trust you for this here, but I've got this over here, no worries. I know what I'm doing here. It's okay. I'll call you when I need help. I've got an opinion on this. I know it's right. Okay, we're good with that? That's not how God wants us to operate. He says, don't trust on what you think you know, because on what you think you know is not always what's actually what you need to know. It's often the other way around. Or our opinions, we think our opinions, if we allow ourselves to become so opinionated and allow them to just cultivate for so long, we end up believing them to be truth, and we find out sometimes in a very hard, cold way that actually our opinions are not actually right. The temptation is to rely on our own understanding, what we think we know, our own opinions. Mistrust, the flip side of trust, comes from fear and or previous broken trust. And that requires healing and rebuilding trust. Fear and control, because that's the other thing, we want to control. And so we want to control by our own opinions or what we think we know. We want to control everything, because when we control everything, then we think we've got trust, but it's really fake trust. It's just control. But fear and control will sabotage true trust. Always, they'll cut it off at the knees. You think you have trust, and then one of your ducks falls over, and it freaks out. You're freaking out because you've got a panic attack because something is not in where it should be. And therefore, what are we going to trust in now? My control is gone. My plan, my structure is all gone. What will I now trust in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We are basically the last day of our trip, and we had packed up our camper. I don't know, in Adelaide somewhere, because we thought the weather was, we were going to Hay, and then we're driving from Hay home. And we thought it was going to be raining in Hay, so we didn't want to end up with a wet camper, because then we'd have to open up our camper again and dry it out so mold doesn't set in and all that kind of stuff. So we packed up our camper and we booked a motel in Hay for our last night before we head home. So our common practice on our trip was we would, when we were on the road for long days, because we were, when we drove the Nullarbor, we were driving like between 9 and 10 hours driving time, plus stops, 12-hour days for 4 days to get across. So we would start like as early as we could. We'd drive for a couple of hours, and then we'd pull on the side of the road. We'd pull out our kitchen of our camper, and we'd have breakfast somewhere. And so we just, you know, after checking out the motel, we drove down to the end of Hay, and we found a little park. We pulled out our kitchen, and we had breakfast in a park. We're at the other end of the town, so then we got in the car and I put the directions in just to kind of, more to give us an idea of timing than direction. And anyway, it took us out of town, and the signs all said to Balrenal, to where we're going next, so it all looked good. And we're driving out, I'm about 10 minutes out of town, and it's like we're on this single road, in the middle of these paddocks, and I'm kind of going to Marguerite. I'm not sure, and it's telling us we're going the right way, but there's no other cars. There was a massive storm rolling in, and it's kind of going, go this way. In my head, I'm going, we've been dodging the floodwaters. All the way over, we dodged the floodwaters, kind of coming down the Macquarie and then into South Australia. And then coming back, we were all going to the floodwaters down the Murrumbidgee River. And I knew that were areas that were pretty close to being underwater, and we're going down this road, and I knew at some stage we had to cross back over the Murrumbidgee, and in my head I'm going, that better not be flooded. That bridge better be open, because otherwise it's a long way back, and that's going to And at the same time, I'm looking at this picturesque going, this is just absolutely gorgeous. The storm coming in, the massive paddocks, there's no other cars on the road beside us, this is just heaven. And I've got this battle going on in my mind. I'm having this conversation with God. Trust in the Lord with all your own heart. Lean on your own understanding. Like, forget about Siri. Like, just drive. Like, it'll be cool. You're going okay. Versus, but what if? And I was really working hard, just it's in my head, I'm not having this conversation out loud, just say, I'm just to trust you, God. I'm just to trust you, God. I just trust you, God. And finally we come down, it says turn right, we go over the Murrumbidgee River, the bridge was open, I'm going, phew. And then we pull back onto the highway and I'm going, I don't know what I was worried about. But there's this sense that to trust in the Lord with all our own heart means we have to give up the restlessness of worry and fear and anxiety that we're not in control or we don't know what's actually going to happen at the other end. I didn't know. I hadn't been here before. I didn't know the road. I didn't know what was coming up at the other end. I had to let go of that in order to sit at peace in the situation and the beauty of the creation that we're in to actually just enjoy that. And I realize a part of that, that what King Solomon is saying to you is we have to decide in our hearts to trust. It's a key part of trusting the Lord with all our own heart. We have to decide in our heart to trust because trust begins with a decision of the will. I will trust. Not even I do trust because that's a verb, that's an action. That's a doing something that we can control or do something. It's the will, it's the mind, it's the spirit saying, I will trust. I choose to trust. I will. It's a decision, a choice I'm making to do that. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in trusting, but I'm just at this point going to step forward and say, I will trust. Help me in my mistrust or unbelief, but I will trust. And that's a decision that we have to make. And until we make that decision, we won't trust. Until we release our control, until we release our, you know, wanting to just hang on to that fear and anxiety, until we step out of that, say, Jesus, it's not working for me, but I will trust you. We can't move forward with God until we surrender our will and decide to trust him and his goodness towards us. We sang about it this morning. That's a key thing. Decide in your heart to trust. And then Solomon goes on, he says, once you've decided to trust, then step forward into that. Trust in the Lord with all your own heart. Lean not on your understanding. Then, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Step forward into that. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It says, with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, one of the other verses says. Or listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. One of the Saturate videos, I'm not going to tell you who. You can decipher it when they come, because I'll tell you a little bit Saturate a bit later, but we've got videos from everyone this year, 21 videos, and they're all from people in Grace Point. So you're going to hear people that you're sitting with today share an encouragement each day of Saturate about something with our theme, In Christ. And one of the people talks about the finding the presence of God in the mundane things of everyday life, like food preparation or washing up and being mindful of just praying and enjoying God's presence in the time of just washing up the dishes or in food prep, like they food prep a fair bit over the weekend for the week ahead. So just that time of just being conscious of the presence of God or listen, as the verse says in the message, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. And I encourage you to think about these questions that God may be asking you in this season and this year. Ask Jesus, what does he want? Ask, what does Jesus want for you? Or another way of saying, Jesus, what do you have in store for me this year? Be brave to ask him that question. Ask, what does Jesus want to give to me this year? Jesus, what do you want to, if his goodness is following me all the days of our life, he's got good gifts to give to us. So why not ask him what those good gifts are? And wait and look for expectation, anticipation of those good gifts coming and ask, where does Jesus want to lead me? They're all trust questions. They're trusting God has good things in store for us. They're trusting God wants to lead us somewhere. They're trusting God has good for us in all parts of our life. The other part of will is just deciding that you will trust God. The other part of God's will is that's his preferred life for us. Remember, his will is good and pleasing. Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The last thing about trusting God from that verse is hold on to the promise of God. Here with the key line and the last key line of each of the passages or the versions I read to you, it says, the promise of God, he will show you which path to take. He will make your paths straight. He will lead you in every decision you make. He's the one who will keep you on track. Literally, he will direct you. He will make it plain to you. And so therefore, you can look with confidence and expectancy to find the things that God is wanting to lead you in, or which path he's wanting you to take, or where to go. We've got to get out of our heads that God is a God that does not abandon us. He does not lead us and say, good luck with that. He continues with us. He continues to follow us. And the natural flow then is if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, the natural flow then is that God will lead us. I've been reading a book. It's called Born to Run. Surprise, surprise. It's an awesome book. It's about a group of people in the back lots of Mexico called the Tarahumara people. And it's telling a story about this group of people, this tribe who are just a natural runners, amazing runners. And they talk about the Tarahumara people and how they run. And they have these four key things that they just built into their culture about how they run. And their first contemplation when they run is just to think, this is easy. Their second thing is to think light. So light on your feet. The third thing they think about is smooth, just be smooth. So it's easy, it's light, it's smooth, and then think pace. But what they say is that if you just get those first three right, pace happens. If you think it's easy, if you're light on your feet, if you're smooth, inevitably you'll find pace. And it's in the same kind of way as I was kind of reading that, I was thinking about this whole trust thing, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will direct you. He will tell you where to go. He will show you which way to follow. There's a flow. You get those first few things right, the last part, direction, will happen. Sometimes we just want to jump to the end bit. Lord, just tell me the answer without the relationship bit of trust in the Lord. Ah, that's right. I've got to trust. I've got to let go of some stuff. I've got to release some stuff. I've got to acknowledge what's happening for me. I've got to choose to trust before I'll find the answers that I'm looking for. As a process, a relationship connection there that Jesus wants us to follow. Lastly, if that verse is not enough for you, just let me share four quick verses with you from Scripture about trusting in the Lord. Other just reminders. John 12:46, Jesus says, I've come as light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Or John 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Or Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Or and then lastly, 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. So what do we do with that? How do we leave this morning not just hearing God's word but responding to God's word, applicating it in our own life? I just encourage you to think for a minute about this question. Where in my life at the beginning of 2023 do I need an upgrade of trust? Where in my life, at the beginning of 2023, do I need an upgrade of trust? I think it's really important that you name it, that you are specific and give a name to it. Here's a few options maybe if you're struggling this morning to think. Maybe an area of trust that you need an upgrade in is relationship or relationships. Maybe they're not working out so well for you of recent times. Maybe there's an upgrade that needs to take place in the level of trust. And there could be a range of things, not just trusting another person, but trusting yourself or trusting God in that relationship. or trusting the process or whatever it is. Maybe it's spiritual relationship with God. Maybe there's a level there. God, I'm not sure where we're at the moment. I'm not sure if I can trust you or not trust you, or are you enough? Maybe that's the step forward. Maybe it's something to do with family. Often family are the hardest places to trust because you know each other so well. Maybe it's in finances, an upgrade of trust in financial situation. Maybe it's an upgrade of trust in job or work or career. Maybe it's an upgrade of trust in housing or in health or healing or breaking addictions. Maybe it's an upgrade of trust in friendship or loneliness. Maybe it's an upgrade in trust in purpose or calling, identity, or something else. You'll know what it is. Allow the Holy Spirit just to highlight that for you. And then as he highlights it for you, I just encourage you to declare either this morning while you're still here or sometime today, just simply, Lord, I choose to trust you with whatever. You may not want to speak it out this morning, but I encourage you, there's power in speaking out the words out loud. So sometime today, Lord, I choose to trust you with, I choose to trust you with all my heart and seek your will and purpose for my life. Just an easy declaration to speak out loud to activate an upgrade of trust. Trust me, the declarations work. The more you declare it, the more you'll see it take place. Because the more you declare it, the more it starts to resonate within our belief system, the more it actually starts to activate the things that need to happen for us to actually believe that's true. And then once that starts to happen, we're on the journey to seeing that become reality in our life, even though when we first declare it, it may not be the reality we're looking for. So, to help you with that this year as well, we're starting Saturate. If you're new or to Grace Point, each year we do 21 days of prayer and fasting to kick off our year. We do that start from the first Sunday in February, and it goes for 21 days. So we'll start that next Sunday, and we go for 3 weeks. The idea of Saturate is to kind of, you know, if you think of something saturated, is to permeate that with the presence of God. And we don't have a sense, oh, we're all going after this or this. We just want to allow space at the beginning of a year to push into the presence of God and say, God, what do you have for us this year? What do you want to be saying to me? What do you want to be saying to us as a church? And we want to listen and hear God's voice in that. So we try and have a theme each year, and we try and just say, hey, here's a rhythm that allows us to push into the presence of God, make sure that we keep Jesus central to everything we do. We want to kick off the year with that. This year, our theme is in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, that's our key verse about being in Christ. And so in other years, we've had other people speak into that. We've had booklets. This year, we're doing a video series, and we've asked 21 people, or it's a bit less than that because a few people are doubling up here and there. We've asked a bunch of people to just share their insights about what it means to be in Christ. We have young people, middle-aged people, old people, males, females, whole gamut of people in there, so you'll be excited about that. And there are some awesome, well, they're all awesome videos of people sharing about their insights about in Christ. So the way it works, we'll have some information that we'll email out to you this week, so make sure you're on our email list, or so that when you get an email this week, you can respond. It'll give you the information about how you can access our YouTube channel. And each day, the videos will be released from about 5 a.m. in the morning. So each day there'll be a new video on. If you miss a couple of days, that's okay. You can go back and see the previous videos. But all the videos won't be there at the beginning. There'll just be day one, there'll be one video, day two, two, three, and there'll be a new one released. We encourage you to watch that video sometime in the day and just take some time reflecting with God about what the video is talking about, that aspect of being in Christ. There's lots of different nuances in that verse, and lots of people have picked up different things about that. So lots of things are the same, and that's great. The Spirit is highlighting some different things. So pick up on that. Spend some time thinking about what it is that Jesus is saying to us about being in Christ, And just maybe take some time to jot a few of those thoughts down or put them on your iPhone or journal some of those over the weeks. And if you hear God speak to you about some things about what he was wanting to say to us for this year, for you or for us, write them down so we can share that. At the end of the 3 weeks, we'll have Testimony Sunday. So we want to come together that day and hear your thoughts and hear encouragements about what it is that Jesus has been speaking to you about. We also say prayer and fasting because fasting is something that when you fast, there's something that takes place spiritually that allows you to declutter and step back from the distractions that happen. So we don't do a 21-day food, you know, just only drink water or juice for 21 days. We allow you to think about what it is that you might want to sacrifice or give up for 21 days that will help you be less distracted and focus more into the presence of God. So that could be you might want to give up coffee for 21 days. That will be probably pretty hard and a few headaches and that for the first 4 or 5 days. But after that, you'll feel very pure for at least 21 days and then you'll probably binge again. But the idea is if you gave up coffee, for instance, then when you're thinking about coffee or when you're craving coffee or when you normally have a go for your normal coffee, instead of going for coffee, allow that time to go and get a glass of water and sit and say, Jesus, I need you more than coffee. And I am in you more than I am in caffeine. And just allow that time to be a time where that 5 minutes, instead of drinking coffee, you drink in the presence of God. It might be alcohol, a glass of wine that you have at each night or with dinner or something like that. It might be chocolate. It might be TV. It might be social media. Here's the thing, though. There's no formula for fasting, but it is true. The more you sacrifice, the more you get out of it. So my encouragement to you is fast from something that causes you at least some pain or some discomfort in not having it for 21 days. And push into the presence of God in that time and you will reap a reward. You don't have to do it. We're not saying it's compulsory. We're just saying the 21 days of prayer and fasting, it's just an opportunity for us to press in the presence of God. I really hope that this year you take that as a church family and just say, I'm really going to go in for this year. I'm really going to go after it this year. I'm going to really suck this 21 days for all the marrow it's worth and really explore what God may want to say to me. No holds barred this year. That's the whole idea for it. So emails will be sent out this week and information about that. If you're not sure about that, chat with Marguerite about getting connected. And if you miss it next week, then yeah, let us know and we can hook you up and get you sorted with that. Lastly, why don't we stand together? I just want to just share a benediction over us this morning as we go.